This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 6th, 2017. The Feast of the Transfiguration of Our Lord Jesus Christ, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The court sat in judgment. Books were opened. The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There are many, many different theological aspects of the Transfiguration. One I think that we don't pay attention to very often is the fact that there is an element of warning in this passage. Warning? Yeah, warning. Our Lord Jesus Christ does not transfigure himself as some kind of ostentatious display of his glory. He's not showing off. When you see what he does, he takes the three apostles that he always takes when he does something tremendously magnificent, raising people from the dead, performing the greatest of miracles, Peter, James, and John, when he wants some big guns, so to speak, to pray with him. Peter, James, and John, he asks to come. He brings Peter, James, and John up on this mount, and he shows them something. And it is by way of warning. It is a dose of reality for them. We have other passages that explicitly describe the presentation that our Lord makes to Peter, James, and John. One is in the first reading that we read today. Well, yeah, I did. I caught that. It says, his raiment was white as snow, a stream of fire issued and came forth from before him, all this brightness going. Yeah, that's just like the Transfiguration. When the prophet Daniel sees that, he is not looking forward to, it's not like an advertisement of what Jesus is going to look like. When Jesus transfigures himself, it's a look back to what Daniel was viewing at the time. One of the times when the lectionary gives us a description of something, because it is exactly the description that we read in Matthew about our Lord's transfiguration. So, the Ancient of Days looks like that. The Lord looks like he's God. Yes, absolutely. But what is God doing in Daniel? It just doesn't plop in. The Holy Spirit doesn't take Daniel up enraptured and say, here, check this out. Look what God looks like. That's not what he's going. What's going on in Daniel? Judgment. Judgment. Before we read about the description of the Lord, it says the judge taking his seat. The context of Daniel chapter 7 in its entirety is God judging his enemies. That's what's going on in Daniel. And when we see this manifestation of God, it is when he is in his judgmental regalia. It's like if you go to 425 North Orange down at the courthouse, the judges come in. What do they do? They have their judges' robes on. They just don't come in street clothes, okay? Not that God changes out his wardrobe to do special things, but when he is judging, he is there in all his glory and all his righteousness and all his justice. That is the context of Daniel chapter 7. When our Lord Jesus Christ transfigures himself, he hearkens back to Daniel 7. Daniel 7 isn't there to point forward to the way Jesus is going to look. We have another in Revelation chapter 4, when we see our Lord Jesus Christ described almost exactly like in his transfiguration. He's clothed with a long robe, a golden girdle about his chest. His hair was white as wool. His eyes are like a flame of fire. In that vision to St. John the Divine, our Lord qualifies what he is. John, don't worry about it. No, he's there again. And what does he say? I have the keys of death and hell. I am Jesus the judge. When Jesus Christ is transfigured on the Mount, Jesus Christ is transfigured, yes, indeed, from the itinerant rabbi, the prophet, the great teacher that everybody's toward whom they are paying attention. Yeah, he transfigures himself from that to the glory of God, but we have to understand the nuances with it. He also transfigures himself from the Savior who is there to save them to the judge that will be coming to judge them and everyone else in the world. He is transfigured figuratively from the lamb who was slain to the lion of Judah who is coming. So that is a predominant aspect of the transfiguration. Hence the reaction of the apostles. They fall on their face as if they were dead. Now, you look at this whole scenario. I said before, these are the top three, Peter, James, and John. They have been around when our Lord has done the most significant. They have watched this man raise people from the dead. They have watched this man walk on water. They have watched this man cure people who have been ill since birth. Cripples, deaf people. He's cured them all. They are no strangers to the supernatural. Why are they overwhelmed when he just changes, you know, he gets bright? Is the supernatural light and supernatural change in his countenance, is that something that should drive these men to abject fear, putting their faces in the dirt? They don't want to look at this. It's not so much the supernatural glory, it is the aspect of judgment that anyone in the presence of the mighty judge is overwhelmed by it because they realize what sinners they are and how holy he is. Isaiah, same thing in chapter 6 of Isaiah. He sees this almost the same light vision, and it's just the throne room. He's not even in the judgment seat. I am undone. He thinks he's going to disintegrate because he's in the presence of holiness and he knows that he is not. Now, this shouldn't be something that's, you know, foreign to us, this idea that our Lord Jesus is the one who will come to judge. We say it every time we say the creeds, the Apostles' Creed. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. That is Daniel chapter 7, by the way. He's looking at a vision of judgment, and what are the last verses that we read in Daniel? And his kingdom, the Son of Man, his kingdom will last forever. It is an everlasting kingdom. It shall not be destroyed. What we say there in the creed is just a repetition of the words of Scripture in Daniel about the Son of Man who will come to judge the living and the dead. Our Lord Jesus Christ has come as our Savior. We know that. That's a surety. We don't have to dwell and delve into that anymore. We do have to delve into what is it going to be like when we face Him as judge. And we all will face Him as judge. This is why the apostles are on their faces before the Lord of glory. Because they realize now, they see Him in all His holiness, and they know what sinners they are. This is, and it's not like that, you know, once you see it, then you're okay. St. John the Divine in Revelation chapter 4, when he sees the same, not, I just said, all the apostles had seen Him do miracles, but now they see Him transfigured. St. John the Divine has seen our Lord in all His glory. And then when he sees Him again in all His glory in Revelation chapter 4, when he is exiled in the island of Patmos decades later, he sees our Lord again and he turns and he sees, and Jesus looks just like he did at the Mount Transfiguration. You would think that John, oh, I've seen this before and he told me not to fear. Where does John do? He falls on his face as if he's dead again because he hasn't crossed over yet. And on this side of the veil, we are horrendous sinners. And when we're in the even remotely, if we just have a vision of the glorious judge and all his righteousness. We want to die. We are, sad to say, we are like the roaches when the lights come on. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there is always some little shreds of darkness within us. And those tiny little shreds are enough to make us feel that we are going to be consumed in front of righteousness. That's what the apostles are dealing with right now. And this is the word of caution and warning. This is what we will have to deal with. Will have to deal with. It's the reality that everyone will be judged according to their works, whether they be good or bad. Well, just the bad people get judged. Whether their works were good or bad, all will be judged. It is appointed each man to die once, and then the judgment. It is one of the four last things. It is one of the last things that we will have to endure. It is truly unfortunate that we have this sort of an idea presented to us now that, you know, you're going to die and you're going to go to heaven and Jesus is going to be standing there with a cold one. Hey, glad you're here. You know, that will come after the judgment, I think. That will come after the judgment, but there will first be the judgment. When it doesn't matter how righteous, how perfect a person is in this world, that our Lord says through his Holy Spirit, through St. Paul, that every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We will all bend the knee before our Lord Jesus Christ. We will all be brought to where the apostles are when we first see him, because the books will be opened. Now, we have a lot of times in Scripture when the books are open. I think a lot of people think that the books are open because God's got to jar his memory as to what we did or what. The books aren't open for God. He knows what you did. The books are open for us. It's not going to be like if you go to court downtown and you're able to defend yourself and give all kind of excuses as to why whatever happened, or the attitude that the cop had before he wrote you. You're not going to be able to defend yourself. It won't even enter your mind, because the books will be open for you. He will be, look, you'll be like, and I don't think the books have got things written in it. I think they're going to be pictures. Look what you did. And you're going to remember exactly what you did, what you said, what you looked like, your hypocrisies. You're going to remember, you're going to see all these things. There will be no excuse. It would be like if you walked in the courthouse downtown and you wanted to make excuses and they're like, oh, look, you didn't know this, but there was a video camera going on right when this happened. It caught the whole thing. And not like the perspective of most video cameras that catch little snippets and you can miss something. No, this is going to be something that is unarguable. That's what the books are. That's what we're going to have to deal with. The reality of judgment. And it even goes farther than just judgment. Heck, we live in a day and age where, don't judge me. The judging part is going to be the least of the worries. The judging part is the least. It is that sentence and the execution of that sentence that are going to be horrendous for those who do not know our Lord. In Daniel chapter 7, when he sees the judge seated on his throne and there is the trial for all the enemies of God, it's not, I judge that you've done wrong, let's go get a sandwich. No, it goes on. It then says, and then the beast was slain, his body destroyed, and given over to be burned in the fire. Sentence and execution of the sentence. That should be even more scary than the judgment. And we don't like to hear about judgment. There will be sentence and there will be execution of that sentence. This sounds very heavy and very scary, and guess what? It should be. It should be. It should help us conform. It should help us do what God our Father says at the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Everything's going to be all right if you listen to him. Jesus proves that. When the apostles hear that, this is my beloved son, listen to him. They're on their faces. And our Lord Jesus Christ comes and he touches them. And he says, rise, have no fear. He doesn't tell them, don't worry about it, you're not going to be judged. That's for bad people. He says, rise, have no fear. Because why? They are going to listen to him. They have listened to him. He is that eternal word. Not only word as in word Jesus Christ, but the words that he says also, both aspects are what our Lord, listen to him. Listen to my word that stands before you. Listen to the words that he says. Listen to him. And if you listen to him, then you get our Lord coming. Rise, have no fear. That will be us if we maintain a life of faith and obedience. If we hear our Lord, when we get to the judgment and we get on our knees and our faces, when we look into our books, we're going to be, you're going to know that you do not deserve to go in. And our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come over and say, rise, have no fear, because you listened to him. And that's not going to be everyone. The Holy Spirit gives us a little scenario of that whole thing with those exact words about the word of God and rejecting it in the book of Acts. St. Paul is presenting the gospel to Jews and they reject it. And St. Paul looks at them and says, you reject the word of God and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. That also shoots down that whole thing about, well, the Jews are okay because they're children of Abraham. St. Paul doesn't say, well, it's okay, you're good Jews, you're children of Abraham, you're going to be okay. No, you reject the word of God, the word, our Lord Jesus Christ, and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Just like I said last week, it's perspectives. One judgment, two completely different perspectives. If you've listened to him, he will touch you and say, rise, have no fear, fear not. Because he is our advocate with the Father. The transfiguration is a warning. Like I said, a whole lot of people don't ever approach it as a warning. It's a really nifty thing that Jesus did for some select apostles. Noah is a warning to all of us. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit says that through St. Peter, who watched the transfiguration. The second reading today, and I'll end with this, because these are the perfect words. You will do well to pay attention to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The Father and the Son.